Genesis 5, Hebrews 11. We'll be going back and forth some. And while you're doing that, I'll just say take a moment to say amen to everything I've heard and seen this morning. There's several colleges that would be on the list that if parents ask, if students inquire from the pastor, there are several colleges I'd certainly recommend. I will tell you this. most Bible colleges that even some of our kids are going to now, there's things that I kind of go, I'm just telling you, I have to sit down with them and say, now in this area, in this area. You know, it's not a bad place, but you're going to have to be careful here and there. And I'm sitting over there thinking, where is that area at Commonwealth? And there isn't that area at Commonwealth. They're just not. I think, honestly, I'm just going to say this, and if God leads you to go to a different college and it's God that leads you, that's fine. But, you know, as far as philosophy, as far as dress, as far as just about every area, it probably is the college that's most like Blessed Hope. And again, it's not. I'm not saying it's God's will for everybody to go to just one college. I'm just saying that young people, I'm afraid sometimes when you're 18, you're not looking at the right things when you're trying to make a decision about a Bible college. Sometimes you want to go somewhere there where there seems to be and sometimes a fabricated excitement or a whatever. When you're 46 and a pastor for 21 years or in the ministry 21 years, you look at different things. And you might consider everyone in here, all of you young people, we kept you 7th through 12th grade, all of you, you might consider what you heard. And there's a wonderful little prayer that you ought to learn to pray. And Jesus prayed it. And it goes like this: not my will, but thine be done. Amen. You know, just because you want to do something doesn't necessarily mean that it's God's will. You ever think about that? Well, I don't want to go to this college, or I don't want to do that year. Have you ever just thought that maybe the only way to find God's perfect will is to die to your will? You ever think about that? Just some good things to think about. Learning to seek God's face. Learning to seek God's face. I'm going to review, teach for about 15 minutes, and I'm excited about this series. Let me review what we covered last week when we introduced it. Second, I'm not going to have you turn to these. Just listen to me. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall what? And? Pray. And? And? I honestly believe, I'm going to say it again this week. We teach humility. We teach prayer. This is the year of prayer. Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We've emphasized that a lot. When this is taught, seek my face is oftentimes lumped together with prayer as if they're one and the same. They're not. They're not. And then turn from their wicked ways. A lot of times we've got, I believe, humility. I believe we get people to pray. But we never get to the turn from their wicked ways because we skip over seek my face. So think about that. It's the overlooked ingredient in revival, to revival. Genesis chapter 3, we went back to the story. Don't turn there, just listen to me. I'm glad you're reaching for your Bibles, but we're reviewing. Genesis chapter 3, we talked about how God had to come down, and for the first time after men, Adam and Eve sinned, and had to seek them out. Where art thou? Where art thou? You realize that God committed himself to be the seeker, to seek us when we were lost. And Romans chapter 3 teaches us that no man has ever sought God. Well, I sought God and then I got saved. No, you didn't. God sought you. He chased you. He badgered you. He convicted you. I'm not being disrespectful, but like a bloodhound on our trail, the Holy Spirit of God after us, after us, after us. Now, that's fine. And God agrees to do that. I will seek you to save you. But once we're saved, that's supposed to flip over. Once we're saved, God is not supposed to be, as we talked about last week, playing hide and seek. God's not supposed to be it. He's not supposed to be the seeker anymore. We're to begin to seek God, to seek God. Once we are saved, it is our responsibility to begin to seek Him. Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was. That's fine. And He said, I'll do that. I'll seek you. But once I save you, I want you to seek me. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, why is God spending most of His time still chasing Christians? Why is He still running, trying to run us down? Why is it that after we're saved, we're still not... Why hasn't that turned around? Now, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 5. Let me give you some examples. I'm going to give you some Old Testament examples. We're going to spend some weeks laying some foundation. Folks, I hope that through this series we will learn to seek God's face. Learning to seek God's face. In Genesis chapter 5, we begin to see then that sporadically we find men in the Old Testament, after Adam and Eve, on down through the genealogies, we begin to find men that discover and begin to experience this matter of seeking God. We find in Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 21, of course, the story of Enoch. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Very interesting here. And Enoch walked with God. Didn't say Enoch humbled himself. Doesn't say Enoch prayed. It says he walked with God. Now, did he humble himself? Yes. Did he pray? I have no doubt he prayed. But he didn't just pray, he walked with God. He didn't just go to God when he needed something. He went to God because he wanted to be with Him. He had a hunger to know God. He wanted to experience a real, close, personal relationship with God. So he would go walk with God when he didn't need anything from God. He would go spend time with God when he didn't need anything from God. Listen, he didn't just use God as an emergency kit that you carry around in your car, you know, when you have a flat, then you finally pull it out. He treated God as a companion. He treated God as a friend. Now, keep your spot there because we'll be back, but now flip over to Hebrews chapter number 11, and of course we call this the faith chapter. But I want you to discover something as we begin to do this. You're going to see that oft times the people from the Old Testament that ended up making this list in Hebrews chapter number 11 were not men that just happened to perform miracles or be used in some extraordinary way. I will contend that the basis for making Hebrews 11 was that they figured out the difference between praying and seeking the face of God. These were men and women that wanted to know God. Are you there? Hebrews chapter number 11, let's read about Enoch, verse number 5. By faith, so this is giving us added information. There's not a whole lot there in Genesis 5, but this gives us some added information. By faith, by the way, if you're going to seek the face of God, you have to do it by faith. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now notice, verse 6 is not placed there by accident. We're talking about Enoch. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that do what? Christians, here's a very fair question. Have you spent any time, have you spent 1 minute this week seeking the face of God? I didn't ask how many chapters a day you read in your Bible. I didn't ask how long your prayer list is and whether you went over it every day. I'm not against those things. But folks, those things without a relationship is just another academic assignment that we as Christians do. And it's not relationship. Listen, Enoch, it doesn't say a whole lot about his prayer life. But I guarantee you, if you learn to walk with somebody, you're going to learn to talk with them. Doesn't say a whole lot about God and what he said to Enoch, but I guarantee you, if you learn to walk with somebody, you're going to learn to listen to them. If you build a relationship, listen, what I'm talking about here is the difference between a request, taking a request to God, and building a relationship with God. It's the difference between asking and abiding. Asking and abiding. It's the difference between praying to God and pursuing God. Praying to God or pursuing God. It's the difference between speaking and seeking. And I'm gonna use this terminology, but I think that God's a little tired of our drive-by shooting prayer requests. And we want to just get close enough to God to hurl a few demands or requests and then flee from his presence because we don't want to really spend time in that situation where we are at the throne of grace and we spend time there until the holiness of God begins to touch our souls and touch our lives. Now, this is the year of prayer, but gentlemen and ladies, let me say this. Part of the real reason that God allows things to come into our life, to drive us to our knees, to drive us to the throne of grace, is not just so that we can ask God for something, but so that God can begin to build a relationship with us. Sometimes we ought to just get quiet, wait on the Lord, get in the presence of God, seek his face, and listen, let his holiness wash over us. Seek his face. Seek his face. I want you to think about that. We're going to keep laying groundwork here. I want you to think about that phrase. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Brother Jerry, what does that mean? Well, it's deep. It means seek his face. Let's make it very practical. Let's bring it down to a human level. If I decided that I wanted to seek the face of Brother Fugit, maybe I had a desire to spend some time getting to know him, to interact with him, to talk with him, to glean from him. You know what I'd have to do? I'd have to get in my car. I'd have to figure out where he's at. I'd have to chase him down. I'd have to badger him for an appointment. I'd sleep in front of his office door. And then they'd call security, have me taken away. But that wouldn't deter me. I would come back. They call people like me stalkers, amen? And I would say, I'm not leaving until I see him. I don't want to talk to him on a cell phone. I don't want to get an email. I don't want a fax. I want to see his face. Are you getting this? Are you getting this? Why don't you become a stalker for after God? Why don't you say, every time God turned around, there he is again. Now, wait till we get to Moses. We've got the example of Enoch. Are you back in Genesis chapter number 5? Let's jump over to Genesis chapter 6. You're right there. First seven verses, we get a description of the horrible condition of this planet and the wickedness of men's hearts right before the flood. Folks, listen to me. In verse number 8 and 9, please pay careful attention. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah what? What is this talking about? This is talking about something we better figure out. We better get to. You know, listen to me. I can cure all your hesitations about separation. I can cure all your hesitations about the importance of living a holy, sanctified life. Let me how I do that. You know, let me tell you how I can fix all those things. If I can get you into the presence of God. I dare you to show me one man or one woman in this book that had a close encounter with the glory of God that did not find themselves on their face pleading for God to leave them alone and pleading and crying out about their wicked condition. Listen, haughty people don't walk with God. Proud people don't walk with God. Carnal Christians don't walk. And you can say whatever you want to. You can show me your little Bible reading chart, and you can tell me how many chapters, and you can show me your prayer list. But if you're carnal, don't tell me that you've sought His face. Carnal people aren't taken with the temporal. I'm sorry. People that walk with God aren't taken with the temporal. You know, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow. And that's what happens. Those of you that are so enamored with the materialism, I mean, I'm talking about young people, won't even consider a year of Bible college. You know why? Because a car is more important to them than the face of God. Excuse me. Now, if you can stay here not going to Bible college, and I can see you living with a hunger and a desire to stay in the presence of God and seek the face of God, and that's reflected in your life, amen. Good for you. But have you ever thought that maybe just the pull of wanting things is keeping you from considering what God might want to do with your life? Now listen, folks. You've got, and you know what? You can go to Bible college and backslide. That happens a lot. You know, we've got some kids here that we're going to be able to bring into a Christian school. I've met with Stephanie's mom, and Stephanie and her sister's coming to the Christian school next year. And you know what? She's made some changes in her life, and she's taken a stand for God in the public school, and she's taken some hits for it. But if you're not careful, kiddo, what you'll do is you'll come here, and you'll say, good, I can let my guard down, because I'm with the perfect people. It'll take you about an hour to figure out you're not with the perfect people. And we think, well, you know what? I'll just kind of live off everybody else's spirituality. I just kind of float along. And man, I carry my Bible, and I hear preaching now, and they have prayer. And wait a minute. None of that's a substitute for you seeking the face of God. I mean, have you ever just decided you're hungry for God? I mean, listen to me, folks. These men were just men. So what set them apart? They just got something inside of them that said, I want to see His face. And I mean, I'm going to show you this. Where do we get into this? The Israelites knew that to see the face of God meant death, and yet some of these men still wanted to see the face of God. It became more important to see His face than it was for them to live. And when you get that kind of a hunger for God, you know what? The preacher won't have to fuss with you ladies anymore about your dress standards. You Christian men, you won't have to worry about being enamored with pornography and all the other nonsense that's out there. You won't care what's on the bulletin boards. That'll be the last thing you're worried about. You get that relationship right, and you know what? Your relationship with your wife will be right. Your relationship with your kids will be right. I mean, folks, let's get hungry for God. Let's get hungry for God. Say, Brother Jerry, this fundamentalism isn't just a list of commands and do's and don'ts. No, it's a relationship with a God. And listen, when you fall in love with God, all that other stuff is easy. You don't struggle with that. You don't struggle with it. We see the example of Noah, Genesis 17. Let me just read a couple verses about Abraham, then we'll pray and we'll pick up here next week. Folks, listen to me. We want to learn to seek God's face. And the next week, I'm going to define for you very specifically, very scripturally, exactly what I'm talking about. But this is not complex. This is not hard. This is just deciding that you want to get as close to God as you possibly can get. That is the relationship that's going to be the priority one relationship. That first commandment, greatest commandment, all of a sudden becomes a life duty, a life longing for you. Genesis chapter 17, look at the first three verses. And it says, and when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Notice what it says here. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. Boom, the presence of God. Walk before me. What's the next verse say? And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. Listen, we're going to study a little bit about Abraham. We're going to take a look at Abraham's life. Let me say this, folks. Abraham is known as the friend of God. You know why? Because Abraham wanted to seek the face of God. When Abraham got hungry for God, God could say to him, sell your house, sell your place, take off. Where am I going? I'll tell you when you get there. Okay, God. Okay. Okay, God. Can you imagine? Men, can you imagine? Ladies, can you imagine? Okay, God. Well, where are we going? Yeah, we're going with God. But where's he taking us? I don't know. Well, I don't know. But wait a minute. I don't know. God said, go. Okay, let's go. Let's go. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that in the weeks ahead, you'll help us in this matter of learning to seek your face. And God, I pray that this would be, Lord, something that we develop in each and every one of our personal lives. Lord, this real, meaningful relationship with a holy, 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 holy God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.